get one of each and do the little two-second commercial here. How many of you were at the meeting where the last time I was here? Amen. The books that I brought this evening, this one is Sister Marianne, raise your hand. She's our in-house poet and intercessor, and this is her book that she wrote. I took the picture. And so she has her book of poems over there. My friends Randy and Barbara Walter are the founders of New Shiloh Ministries down in Berlin, Maryland, which is right near Ocean City. And Randy and Barbara were editors for the Maranatha Manna for 29 years, something like that, 23, 29 years, over 20-something years. And it's very interesting, but they have documented their whole marriage and ministry. And really, Barbara is a scribe. And so as things moved and God was moving, they were able to document it. And I think this one you saw the last time I was here, Naming Your Gates and Taking Back Your City. It's really a practical guide. It is really a practical guide. This one is just the declaration, the prayer declarations. So you don't have time to read that. You need to declare over America, or you need to declare authority. There, it's right there, and it's a very simple. Here it is. You know, like prayers that avail much, but they're declarations that avail much. This is their brand new book. I haven't even read this yet. It says there are things we all need to be freed from. Some of them are religious spirits which masquerade as Christianity, but actually separate us from God by trapping us into legalism and tradition that makes it hard for people in the world around us to understand what we believe. Let's get free. The Walters relate principles and lessons they've learned, exposing hidden religious spirits and demonstrating how to be free from them. They actually asked us all to intercede on this book because they just felt like it's going to hit home. And then this is written by my apostle, Robert Stagmer, and we were really excited because Cindy Jacobs and Randy Clark endorsed the book. And he said, Robert Stagmer has tapped into a great need we have in the body of Christ. The Lord is speaking to many about signs, wonders, and miracles. However, many do not understand how to flow in the supernatural. If you're hungry for God to use you in the miraculous, this book is for you. And we actually did this book. So this was a part of his theses. He'll be 84 this year, and he got his doctorate of divinity when he was 70, in his late 70s. And he went to school with Randy Clark and all that group up there. And so they are here if you'd like to, and actually Marianne's here and can sign your book for you. So this evening, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about when you've been in ministry for a long time, you know? And how many people in here are new in the Lord? I didn't think that was going to be the case. How many people, you've all been serving the Lord for a long time, haven't you? Yes. And I think that's the case in most of us who have this hunger for God. There's a place that we're at right now. And, you know, my husband Tom and I started in ministry when we were newly married. And his second date, I don't know if I told the story or not, but he took me out on the street and I held those tracts in my hand and I squinched them all up and he said, give them out, give them out. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. And that night I got to lead a lady to the Lord who was a prostitute, and she worked down on the block, and it forever changed my life. It took away every bit of fear that I had of telling someone about Jesus, you know, because when we look at things religiously, it might be difficult to talk about. But when we look at things relationally, talking about Jesus is like breathing, you know? When I think about the Lord, the song says, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. And if that's not in your soul tonight, then I hope that by the time we leave here, it will be in your soul. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and my church knows this scripture. It's a scripture in Isaiah. It's chapter 30, verse 18. And it says, therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he might have mercy on you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Amen? Amen. And you know, when we're serving the Lord, well, let me back up a minute here. Let me just talk about when I gave my heart to Jesus. How many people remember when they gave their heart to Jesus? Do you remember that? Wasn't it a precious moment? Not the doll, precious moments. But I remember at 5 years old, five and a half, Church of God camp, and they did the story of the life of Christ. And all, it was a lot of kids. It was in the 60s, you know, and there's tent revivals happening everywhere. And I grew up a Pentecostal, you know. And so when they gave that altar call, I had to go to the altar. I mean, I just had to run to the altar. And I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And Jesus came into my heart. And I felt like I was there for 5 minutes. But when I got up, there was only four of us left. Everyone had gone back to their camp bunkers, to their dorms. And I felt like I was like floating along at 5 years old. And I got there and they were having a pillow fight. And I just climbed up into my bunk and I laid there and I had the sweetest rest that I have ever had. And at that 5 years old, Jesus changed me. He really changed me. How many people have given their heart to Jesus when they were little? Anybody in here? Yeah. You can't be like everybody else when you have an encounter with the Lord as a child. That's why I say it's always important for us to reach those children, you know? And so that moment when I got saved and that thing transformed my life, I wanted to tell everybody, and I got in the car when my mother picked me up from camp, and she didn't want to hear about it. She didn't want to hear about it. That's nice. All right, just be quiet. Because she had not encountered the love of God like I did. And she didn't want to hear it. To her, it was all that crazy religious stuff. But to me, it was transforming. I want to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9. And I want to talk about this woman. I'm going to start at verse 19. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she herself, she said to herself, if I may only touch his garment, I'll be made well. Just touch his garment, I'll be made well. Now, I don't know if you know about the biblical times, but if a woman had an issue of blood, she was unclean. She couldn't be with the regular population of people, and this had been going on her life for 12 years. 12 years. And sometimes we have things in our life and they go on for a long time. And we go, when are we going to get a break? When am I going to get a break, right? She spent all of her money that she had. She went to all these doctors. Some of them were quacks and did crazy things to her. It says so in the Bible. Just so she could get relief. Because she was orphaned, basically. She was orphaned from everything else because she had this issue. Ooh, don't go near her. She's the unclean thing. And it was a societal thing. So it wasn't just a matter of, like us, we'd go, oh, honey, don't even worry about that. Come on. No, in that day, she literally had to stay away from everybody else. She couldn't go drink at the fountain. She couldn't wash her clothes when everybody else there. She was unclean. And sometimes things like that happen in our life. For me, at 3 years old, I began to be molested by the people that we were living with. And as a little girl, you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand those things. But I always felt different. And what I didn't realize is that I felt like an orphan because I didn't know who my father was. And now we're living with these people that I can't bear to be with. And I could tell you a million stories tonight, but I want to talk about what Jesus did, because that's really what it all matters, right? That's all that matters. And then I got so angry at the Lord when I got around 15 years old. Now, all these times I've been in church. At 5 years old, I got saved. I got miraculously saved. At 9 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I had an incredible encounter with God because that night, Grandma and I are walking to church. It was about 15 blocks. And we're walking because it was a nice summer night. And I got to church and I said, Grandma, I'm getting filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. When Brother Evans does the altar call, I'm going up tonight. I'm getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I waited. He was a little man, and he'd walk back, and he'd have his handkerchief, and he'd get to the point, and if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I went right up to that altar, because that's what I told Jesus, I'm getting filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. But what I didn't tell you is that during that time, people would wait for the doors to open. Now we can hardly get people in the church. But people would wait for the doors to open. Brother Naff would come and he'd unlock the door and we'd all go in and there was this lady there. I'd never seen her before. My grandmother was so sweet. She talked to everybody and she invited her to sit with us. And she came and she sat next to us and she just had this beautiful smile on her face, you know. And I sat next to her, I looked at her and she was kind of like German looking with blonde hair, you know, the 60s bob cut. And I went up to that altar. I had a light blue, you know, the little dots. I forgot what you call them, polka dots. But it was like seersucker dress on that my mother had made. And I knelt at that altar at 9 years old, and I just said, Jesus, fill me with your spirit. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And you know, back in the day, the ladies came and they prayed you through. And the ladies came and they prayed me through and I got slain in the spirit. When I hit that floor, I came out of my body. And I saw myself laying on the floor and I saw all those ladies praying around me. And I left my body and went up out of my body. I kind of like floated up out of the church. And I went into the presence of the Lord. And when I went into the presence of the Lord, it was as if he took me by his hand, which was huge. And I could see his robe, but I could see the draping of his robe. But when I looked at his face, it shone with such glory that I couldn't see his face. And all of a sudden, he began to pour this liquid gold into me. And I just never felt like that before. I had never experienced anything like that before. And he said, it's time to go back. And you know what, Pastor? I didn't want to come back. And I said, I don't want to go back. And it was the first time I ever heard Jesus say my name. He said, Michelle, it's time to go back. And I just immediately obeyed. I came back down into my body. That was a lot faster. But 2 hours had passed. Everybody was gone, and it was me and Grandma and that lady. And here's Grandma crying, and here's the lady, and Grandma said, you were speaking in a French dialect, and she interpreted everything. And I turned to my grandmother to find out what I was saying, and the lady was gone. You see, that night the Lord sent an angel so that my grandmother would have that encouragement of what God was planting inside of me, because all of the pain that I had to go through when I got back home was much, because my mom was addicted to alcohol and prescription drugs. Because Four years old, my brother died in a fire, and it took my mother into a tailspin. And I kind of lost my mother along the way. She wasn't very present. I knew she loved me, but she had pain. And you see, now she's in heaven today. And I understand what that means to have pain like that. And I couldn't tell you about that before because I was so angry. Have you ever been so seething angry that you just can't stand anything, or you just can't stand to be in that person's presence? I was so angry. But that night when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus came in like a flood. Like a flood onto some very dry ground. But you know, in the process of life, we go through ups and downs and hills and valleys. And when I was 15, I was so angry that I said, I'm done. I am done. Not one more person is going to put their hand on me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I was mad at God. I was behaving like an orphan because I felt like an orphan. I couldn't have told you that. Now I can tell you because I'm healed. I felt abandoned. I felt betrayed. Nobody protected me. That's what I felt like. But I didn't have that verbiage to say. I only had anger built up inside of me. And so, you know, that woman who had the issue of blood in the Bible, she went through it for a long time. And she used all of her natural resources to fix something that was unfixable. I used all of the world's natural resources of alcohol and drugs and men to fix something that was going on inside of me. And those resources only brought me more pain. But in the middle, the Bible tells us we have a great intercessor. My grandmother was my intercessor, and her best friend, Sister Raleigh, who lived to be 101, was the great intercessor. And oh man, they just laid me at the altar every week. Now, I don't know, but I know I've prayed for people since then, and I've had to lay some loved ones at the altar and pray for them, and I can imagine what my grandmother's prayers were. Jesus, she's yours. That seed is planted inside of her soul, and God, she's got a calling on her life, and Jesus, we're just going to hound the heavens until you bring her back into the kingdom of God, because Father, she needs to be restored to her heavenly Father. She needs a hope of glory planted down in her her soul. Her soul is broken, Lord. Because you know how those intercessors are. They grab a hold of the horns of the altar and they don't let go. And I'm going to read a little bit more out of Matthew. It says, she said to herself, if I could only touch his garment, I'll be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, this is what it says in Matthew. He said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. I'm going to pop over here to Mark. Chapter 5. Okay, now a certain woman had a, verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and she wasn't any better, but she grew worse. And when she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She was worse. She was not better. You see, I try to use the things of the earth to fill in a place that only God could fulfill. I tried everything to fill that barrenness that was in my soul and that place where I felt abandoned and I didn't have the words to express what was going on in my heart. But somehow, there was a plan B. And his name is Jesus. And those intercessors stood in the gap. Don't you think that there was somebody in that town that knew what Jesus was doing and they knew that woman had an issue of blood and they're just thinking, God, send her to Jesus. He's the healer. He's walking around the streets and he's healing the blind and he's taking the sick and he's making the lame walk and the blind see. Don't you think somebody was interceding on her behalf? I'll bet you there was, because they got tired of seeing her being an outcast. Even though they couldn't say anything. Because what happens when you're walking around with a spirit of rejection is you attract that mess to you. You attract that mess to you. Why? Because you don't know that you're a son or a daughter. And you walk around like an orphan. And when you walk around like an orphan, they're right outside these doors with liquor bottles in their pockets right now. They're up on their porch right now smoking reefer, trying to get rid of something that's in their heart. And they don't understand it. They just know that when they smoke that pot and they drink that liquor, they're going to go to sleep for a few hours. But God. Immediately, she said, if I could only touch his tallit, if I could only touch his prayer shawl, if I could only just touch his tallit, I'll be made well. You look that up in the Hebrew and it's his tallit. It says his clothes. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Have you ever been healed like that by Jesus? I have. When I was 22, I had an encounter with God because the Lord's like, okay, this is Michelle's interpretation of what Jesus said. I am so tired of hearing Grandmom pray her back into the kingdom. I am so tired of hearing Sister Raleigh pray her back into the kingdom. Enough is enough. And one night, I'm in my apartment with my boyfriend, and we're watching Agnes of God, and I have no idea what happened, but something happened in that movie. I never even saw the whole thing, but I went in the kitchen to wash the dishes, and I hated washing dishes. I still don't like washing dishes. I like to cook, though. And I began to sing hymns. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And as I began to sing those songs, the Spirit of God came into the kitchen. And it was like he did this. And he said just these words to me, "Michelle, you are no longer of this world." You know when you hear the Savior's voice. You can't deny it. It isn't somebody over there talking and you heard a whisper. No, you know when you have the seed of God inside your soul, whether you're serving him or you're not serving him, you know his voice. He said, "My sheep know my voice." And I heard his voice, and poor Medhat, he was like, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter?" I'm like, "It's Jesus." "Jesus? What? You never said Jesus before." I went in the shower, and I'm crying my eyes out, and "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And of course, you know, I hear him say, "Call the pastor." Well, the only pastor I know is my grandmother's pastor. But see, what I don't know, and what we don't know when we're not in the will of God, is that somebody's praying for me. You know that song? "Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me, oh Lord. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed for me." See, what they don't know when they're outcast and orphaned is that somebody's praying for them. And I'm telling you, at that moment when Jesus came in, man, it was a done deal. I called the pastor. It was 10 o'clock at night. He was not much age difference than me. He says, "First pastor at Church of God." And I'm crying, "Pastor, this is Viola's granddaughter." He knew. How did he know who I was? Because they were praying and I didn't know it. And I said, "Can I come over your house, please?" He said, "Well, let me ask my wife." I didn't even think about what time it was. Poor Medhat got in the car. He's like, "What? I've never seen you like this. What's going on?" I said, "Jesus is transforming my life." He doesn't even know about it. He's pretty agnostic. His family's Muslim, but he's agnostic. And I'm telling him about Jesus, and I'm crying, and I'm like, Jesus came into my heart. And he's like, "What the heck's going on?" That was my boyfriend. So I get to the pastor's house, and of course I know because I've only gone to one church my whole life. And I go in, and he sits me at the table. His wife comes out, and she's just as sweet as she can be. And she said, "Hi, how are you? I'm just going to go back because the children are asleep." And I sit at the table. I have no idea what I said to him. God, I think about it sometimes. I thought, well, I wonder what I told him. I don't really know. But at the end of probably 2 hours of me crying and spilling my guts, he said, "Well, Michelle, you've got two choices here today. You can either take the straight and narrow, or you can take the wide road." And he said, "I think you're done with the wide road." And that Sunday I went to church, and his mom, I don't know her real name, but we always called her Meemaw. Meemaw took me under her wings, and she taught me to be a Sunday school teacher. And she taught me about those little children that were coming on the bus who were nappy-headed and had boogers in their eyes. And when they acted out, she explained to me the pain that they were in. And it related to something inside of me, because it was me when I was little. And God had a solution. The whole time I was trying to do it my way, the whole time I was trying to fill a spot that couldn't be filled by anything else but him, the whole time I was trying to find some man to love me, it was right at hand, and it was the love of God. It says in verse 30 of Mark, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out," power, virtue, some translations say, "had gone out of him, turned in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes? Who was it?'" I'm going to use my paraphrase, and the disciples are like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's a million people here. Everybody's touching your clothes. Everybody wants a piece of you. They all want to be healed. They're getting on our nerves. We just can't do it anymore. We're tired. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. And it was that woman. She'd done everything she could do to make herself better, and none of it worked. Who touched me? And he looked around to see her. Who was she? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now the sickness was the bleeding, but the affliction was that she was an outcast. The affliction was that every place that they went in that town, she couldn't even be with her family members. She couldn't be with her friends because everybody's like, I can't be with you. And some of them were going, ew, you're unclean. And isn't that the way it is when we're messed up? My husband used to say, I'm beat up from the feet up, tore up from the floor, wrecked up from the neck up. She became a daughter. He didn't say woman. He said daughter. And he immediately restored her into the family of God. Her title wasn't abandoned, cast down, rejected. Her name was daughter. You belong in the family. Your faith has made you whole, and faith is an action word. And sometimes in our life, and you know what? I've been serving Jesus for a very long time. I'll be 58 this year. And I've been serving Jesus for a very long time, and I've had highs and lows in the Lord. And I'm at that place in my life where I'm tired of seeing 30 people in the church, and I'm tired of seeing the pastors all beat up from the feet up and tore up from the floor up. And I'm tired of seeing outside there's all the sinners out there, the people who are away from God because they're orphans. And I'm saying, Jesus, in this hour, you changed me. You took me out of my body into your presence, and you poured your love in me. You transformed me by the renewing of my mind, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God would be transformed inside of me so that I could give that word out. And I'm ready for you to move. And I pray to God that tonight, inside of your soul, listen, who's the light in the world? Church? Who is the light? We are. That's what I tell my church every week. Say that. I am the light of the world, because the light of God is shining inside of you. And you may not be able to stand in a pulpit like I do, but you might be the person who cleans the church. You might be the person who cleans the toilets. You might be the person who has been praying and praying and praying and praying, and you're saying, God, I want a breakthrough. And I want to tell you, this is not a season for you to give up. Even if your knees hurt and your back's hurting and you wake up in the morning and your sinuses are all messed up, it is not a time for you to give up. It's a time for you to be like the woman with the issue of blood, and you just reach past where you are. You reach past your place of disappointment. You reach past that place of pain. You reach past that place where those kids have broken your heart, and you reach into the hem of his garment and you touch it. And you watch what he does. He's going to know who touched me. Which of my children touched me today? Which of them stirred the Spirit of God in the heavens so that there would be a breakthrough in this place? I looked up things on Kaiser, West Virginia. There wasn't revival here. I didn't see any evidence of revival here. I've seen churches. I looked it up. I saw the history of it, of the Irishman and all of the things that are going on in the river and the paper mill. And where's the revival? You have pastors here tonight who are hungry for God to move. You have pastors who are faithful to God. Are you praying for them? Are you pressing into God on their behalf so that they can lead you and guide you into that place of holiness? The worship here was incredible tonight. Jesus doesn't want us sitting on our behinds, doing nothing. Get rid of that cloak of discouragement. Get rid of that cloak of pain. Because somewhere inside of you, there is a seed of God that created a river sometime in your life. And you were on fire for God and you'd do anything. You'd wash the dishes, you'd sweep the grounds, you'd do anything for the pastor. And now you just, oh, I wish God would move. Well, he's waiting for you. He inhabits the praises of his people. He embodies his spirit inside of his people so that we can be his hands and feet on the earth. Don't you think that that woman with the issue of blood, who was the woman with the issue of blood, who is now the daughter, don't you think that daughter went and said, my father touched me. My father gave me life. He took my body. It was so weary. I was so anemic. I couldn't even breathe. I didn't even have enough oxygen in my blood to breathe. But one day I got up the courage and I got up enough strength to go out there and touch the hem of his tallit. And he touched me and he healed me and he called me daughter. In an instant, that was complete restoration. Don't you think she told somebody about Jesus? You know, it's hard for us to relate to these kids out here today. Look, they type so fast on that phone, I don't even know how their fingers move that fast. I think I'm pretty techno-savvy until I give them a phone. But let me tell you what they cannot deal with. They can't deny the real, true power of God. And if you will get on your face before God and you will begin to pray, just like you prayed when you were young, just like you prayed when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, just like you prayed when Jesus came into your heart, something's going to ignite a spark inside of your soul and the intercessor in you is going to rise up and God's going to start waking you up at 2:00 in the morning and you think you're going to get up and go to the bathroom because, you know, as we're older, we get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Come on. Tom would say, come clean dirty. And you're sitting in that bathroom and you're going, just say this, Lord, what are you asking me to pray for right now? It may only take you 10 minutes, but start praying because every place there is a little fire. Let me tell you, God gave me a vision years ago and he showed me that I was a fire igniter. And every place my feet tread, I call it pollinating his presence. There was going to be an ignition of his fire. And we need a holy fire in this hour. We need a holy fire inside of our souls. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, Lord. I guess I better wrap it up. But let me tell you something. Unless something unsettles your soul, you're going to stay complacent. But when there is a passion inside of your heart, you cannot contain it and you cannot control it. And your pastors have been all over the world, and I have been places where, and in Honduras, I prayed for these little kids. Boom, they're out in the spirit. They're getting filled. People are getting healed. But I don't care about that. I want it to happen in the United States of America, unto the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. And guess where all the division is? It's in the church. People are jealous. They want to do it their way. That's why we have 2,000 denominations going on. But if we will just let the pure and perfect love of God run through our veins and we stop judging one another. We're going to be like the daughter who was bleeding, and she was called the woman with the issue of blood, but she was really a daughter of the Most High God. And just like her, God took my mess. He took my brokenness. He took my issues of pain and abandonment. He took my orphan spirit and literally the issue of blood. And he touched me with his blood. And he made me whole. And it didn't happen overnight. It was a process because he's a gentleman. And now I'm in a season where my husband's passed and my mother's passed, and it's only been a couple of months. And I'm not a wife and I'm not a daughter, but I don't feel like a widow because I'm not a widow. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter. And I'm not alone. When I'm home alone at night, I'm not alone. The presence of God comes and ministers to me. We're not alone. We're not pressed and crushed and persecuted and abandoned and crushed down but not destroyed. We're children of the Most High God, and he never abandons his children. His word says he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, but we keep leaving the fold and trying an alternative. It could be television for weeks. I couldn't turn the TV off and I couldn't sleep. And I just, well, Jesus, I just can't sleep. I was going through grief, and there's times when I still go through those waves of grief. But let me tell you something. There's a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of, help me singing. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. You just tell him, I want more of you, Lord. But guess what? You got to do something. You can't sit there and think the Bible's going to open the pages for yourself. You can't sit there and put the worship music on and not engage with the music. You can't sit there and just let it go. You need to say, Jesus, I've been in a desert. I feel like the woman with the issue of blood, and I feel like, tell them how you feel. Tell them how you feel. And then allow him to change the circumstances. He knows how to change the circumstances. Saints, we got more years behind us than we have ahead of us. And we are filled with the promise of Almighty God inside of us. And we are the seed sowers. Do you realize that? I'm going to wrap up. We are the seed sowers. Don't wait for the young people to come out here and do this work. We better be showing off and showing up for Jesus. We better be out there just as hard as they are. See, we've got a history with the Lord Jesus Christ that they don't have. We've got a past where we've walked up out of the valley, lifted our hands, and praised the Lord. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's us. Say, that's me. And you've got life and you've got the breath of God inside of you. Begin to light that fire. Begin, when your pastor opens the door, come and join him for prayer. Even if your body's tired, sit on the pew. Open the Word of God and let it feed your soul and let that stirring begin. Because you know what happens when you clean out a well? You see just evidence, and there's a lot of wells that are plugged up now. And pastor, when you start, you just take that shovel, you know, that dirt, when you get in the middle, it's loose. And guess what happens? You can easily get one scoop out. But over the years, rocks have been put up inside of that well. Some of you got some rocks in your well. and you need them loosened out. And when you get to those rocks, man, you've got to dig around to get that big old stone out that was keeping that well from flowing. But down inside your soul, there is a seed of God that has a river of life attached to it. And when that river of life rises up out of you, you will be the one. You'll be the one. Do a Charles Finney and a Daniel Nash. Start praying for Kaiser, West Virginia. Start praying for this corner over here where these people are sitting there doing their drugs and doing their mess. Begin. Begin. And let the Spirit of God rise up inside of you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, I just want to repent, even on my behalf, of times when I've allowed the issues, the rocks, to plug up my well. And Lord, I don't want to be left behind, and I don't want to hear about the revival in other places. I want to be the revival. I want to be the intercessor who prays through, and the souls who weren't transformed are now transformed because I was obedient to pray when you told me to pray. Because you've called me daughter, not abandoned or forsaken. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room tonight that you would set a fire, that you would give them the shovel to start digging down in the wells, that they would once again feel like a son and a daughter. And let the fire of God be ignited in Kaiser, West Virginia. Let it start in us tonight, Lord God. Father, help us to be visionaries for your season in this hour, and we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.